Looks like we might be getting back from vacation. That's a good thing. Get back home and get settled in. School just has that effect on people, I guess. One announcement we did not make in our bulletin is there is skit practice tonight at 4:30 here at the building. And so please, if you're in that skit group, the Lord's Army, please show up and work hard, because we're gonna be looking at you in just a few weeks at our big centennial. And God is good
all the time.
Yes, He is. He's blessing us today. Our scripture reading this morning was from Matthew chapter 6, 19 through 21. This is a part of the Sermon on the Mount. And in this scripture, Jesus talks about treasure and about the heart. Now, what I've got up on the screen there is the King James Version. And the reason is because if I try to do any other version, I get messed up on this. So I thought, well, let's just go with it. It's fine. It's not incomprehensible. We can understand that. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust corrupt and thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust corrupt and thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. That's our scripture for today. Mark Twain was not known for being a religious man. Not much conviction there, not much faith, as far as I can tell. But he was asked one time if he had read the Bible. And Twain said, no, I've only read 3 chapters of the New Testament. And so someone asked, which 3? He said, well, the Sermon on the Mount. And then the next question was, why only those 3? And Twain said, if I ever master those 3, I'll move on. At another time, he says, it's not the parts of the Bible that I don't understand that bother me. It's the parts I do understand. There's no point in reading more until I get those 3 chapters right. That would be Twain's attitude toward the whole thing. But here we are in the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus comes to this point where he begins to talk about our hearts and our treasure. And even though Jesus is talking to people who were all Jews and people who were living under the law, what he is doing here in the Sermon on the Mount, I believe, is laying a foundation for those who would live under the new covenant, the covenant that we have with Christ. He certainly doesn't contradict anything. It's in the law of Moses by the things he says here. But he is definitely raising the bar. If you notice that, he's raising the bar as he goes through chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7. People have kind of fallen away. They've been pulling things down to the bare minimum. And Jesus, by the things he says, he starts raising the bar. And he sets the bar a little higher for those of us who are Christians. But my point here is, this teaching is for us. This teaching is for Christians. And there are some things here, there's some obvious things I just want to look at very quickly. And then there's a couple things here that just kind of jumped out at me a few years back. And those are things I want to talk about too. First of all, Jesus tells us there's only 2 places where we can put our treasure. He said you can put your treasure on earth, you can put your treasure in heaven. If there's a 3rd or a 4th option, he certainly doesn't mention it. And so we understand it's either here or it's there. One place or the other is where our treasure is going to be. And then he begins to give reasons why our treasure needs to be laid up on heaven, in heaven, rather than on earth. And I think there are about 2 or 3 right here, and there are some others just generally from the Bible I want to talk about here today. There's 5 reasons why our treasure needs to be laid up in heaven rather than on earth. First of all, Jesus is commanding it. I mean, if you hadn't noticed that, Jesus is commanding us to do exactly that. He says, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust corrupt and thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves. Those are commands from Jesus. And who is Jesus anyway? Well, he's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. In Matthew 28, and it's along about verse 18, and Jesus came to his disciples. He came and spoke to them saying, and this is just before he ascends to heaven and just before he gives the Great Commission. He says, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. And then he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. But think about that. Jesus says, all authority. All of it. All authority is given unto me in heaven and on earth. What I say goes. I'm the final arbiter of what's right and what's wrong. All authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. I mean, you think about if Jesus has all authority, that doesn't leave very much for you or me or any other person. If there is any other authority in heaven or on earth, it has to come with His permission. It has to come with His, be delegated from Him. And the other thing I want you to see here, when Jesus gives us this command, is He's not commanding us to do something that would be against our own interest. He's giving us something. He's giving us a command that's actually in our own interest. And that brings us to number two. It's in our interest to listen to this command, because treasure stored up on earth is not going to last. It will not last. And Jesus talks about this here in these verses. Treasure stored up on earth by its nature is something that can be destroyed or stolen. It can rust. It can rot. Moth and rust will corrupt it. Thieves break through and steal it. Insects will eat it. But treasure that's stored up in heaven doesn't rust or rot. It's not consumed by insects. It's not stolen by thieves. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, there's something there said about our inheritance, about what it's like to have our inheritance stored away or reserved in heaven. But starting in verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you." Things that are reserved in heaven, like our inheritance, like our treasure, like whatever it is that goes to heaven, is imperishable, undefiled, something that will not fade away. It's always going to be there because it's reserved in heaven. That's the nature of heaven. And so when Jesus tells us to store up our treasures in heaven rather than on earth, He's not telling us something against our own interest. He's telling us that, hey, if you want to actually have treasure when all this is over and when we get to heaven, He said, here's where you're going to have to store it. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. There's another thought that goes with this. This is where Peter's talking about the day of the Lord. He says, "The day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works." That'd be all of our treasure stored up here on earth. "And the earth and its works will be burned up." It'll be consumed. And so Jesus, the command He's giving us, that our treasure needs to be stored up in heaven rather than on earth, is in our interest. Treasure stored up on earth is not going to last. And then there's a third reason why our treasure needs to be laid up in heaven. And that is, even if our treasure stored here on earth lasted, we're not going to be here forever. We'd have to leave it. Everything we accumulate here in this life and is stored on earth, eventually there comes that day when we leave this life and we have to leave it behind. Hebrews 9 and 27, "It's appointed unto men once to die, and then comes the judgment." We're all going to die. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 7, "For we have brought nothing into the world, and so we cannot take anything out of it either." And so whatever it is that we might accumulate and store, whatever treasure might be, we store up in this life, there comes a day when we're going to leave it behind. We can't take it with us. We brought nothing in, we're going to take nothing out. And that brings us to number four. What about the return on the treasure that we store up in heaven or on earth? What's the best return you ever got for any kind of investment? You know, 10%, that's not bad. 20% was great. 30% is incredible. And 40% is just out of this world. But there is something about those rates as they go up. The higher the rate, the more risky it is. The more likely it is to take a dive into a negative territory without warning and leave you just with nothing. You just completely disappear. What's the worst that ever happened with you in an investment? I remember back on September 11th in 2001, watching the TV just a couple hours after the planes flew into the tower. We had some money in the stock market, and I watched half of it disappear there in about 2 hours. It was amazing, wasn't it? That's probably the worst that ever happened to me with investments. But the return that is received for treasure laid up in heaven is infinitely and eternally better than anything paid here on earth. The investment is secure. The return is full of God's grace and guaranteed by the blood of Christ. It's a terrific return. And now here's where things get interesting, for me anyway. Another reason why we need to make sure that our treasure is laid up in heaven as opposed to earth. Jesus says, put your treasure in heaven, not on earth, because it's going to affect your heart. It's going to have something to do with your heart. This is Matthew 6, 21. This is the last thing he says after he's made these commands. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I don't know if you're catching this or not. Your heart follows your treasure wherever you put your treasure. And it's very easy to read over this thing and kind of miss that, because we like to say this backwards. Where your heart is, there will be your treasure also. That's the way we almost always say it. Where your heart is, that'll tell you that's where your treasure is going to be, wherever your heart is. But Jesus is turning this thing around, and he says, where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. And so what he's actually saying is, be careful where you put your treasure, because your heart's going to be there. Your heart follows your treasure. This is not just a warning from Jesus, but there is a key here for spiritual growth in this statement that Jesus makes here when he tells us that our hearts follow our treasure. Where we put the treasure, that's where our heart is going to go. But there's a key here for spiritual growth, and there's a tool that he's put in our hands that can help us, that we can use to help ourselves to grow, spiritually speaking. We're like every other congregation. We have our share of weak, immature, uncommitted Christians. People that just kind of, hang at the fringe. They don't want to commit to the church or any ministry that we might be involved in. They would not show up at church very often, maybe every now and then. Sometimes 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks would pass, maybe a month, maybe even 2 months before we would see them again. And when they come, they put a little something in the box, and we're thankful for that they're helping to support to that extent. But there's no commitment to regular or faithful or sacrificial giving coming from these folks. And I'm sure from time to time it crosses their mind, I really need to grow. I need to get serious. But there's just not any desire in their heart. There's no interest that's there. There's no prompting of the heart that says, quit saying we ought to. Let's do it. That's what we want. They're kind of waiting for their hearts to pull them along, and the heart isn't pulling them along where they need to be. They haven't felt that pull yet. And Jesus has an answer for that person. Jesus has something to say here that could change that person's life dramatically. And it goes something like this. Start putting big chunks of your treasure in the place where you want your heart to be. Let me say it again. If you don't like where your heart is, if your heart is not doing the job for you, getting you to the place where you need to be, if you understand what Jesus is saying here, what he says, take some treasure, take a lot of your treasure, and start putting it in the place where you want your heart to be. Because where your treasure is, your heart's going to be there. Your heart follows your treasure. Be careful where you're putting your treasure. You can get your heart to the right place by choosing the right place for your treasure. Now, I never had any interest in the stock market in my life, except one time. This goes back to about 1989, 1990, something like that. And it was amazing to me. There was a section in the newspaper. I don't think they do this anymore, but used to be in the major newspapers, there would be the business section, and there would be about 2 or 3 pages of just nothing but numbers. The stock exchange, all the returns for the day as of a certain time, and all the numbers, a little abbreviation, a little number out there in micro print. And so at that time, I was in Detroit. I was looking at the Free Press or the Detroit News or whatever. And once I took a little bit of money and I put it in this software company out in California, we had a relative who knew something, and he said, we're about to announce something big for our company. And if you take some of that money and you buy some stock, I can almost guarantee you that 6 months from now, it'll probably about double, something like that. Okay, now, to just let you know, it did. It happened just like you said it would. But, I never paid any attention to the business section. I mean, when I came to all those numbers, all that stuff there, there's the Amex and the NASDAQ and the New York Stock Exchange and all that. That was just, man, that's for the dog to in the dog pen or whatever. But once I took just not a lot of money, but a little bit of money, I put it in that company. Every day I'm opening up my paper. I'm going down this list here, looking at those little tiny letters and finding out what happened. Your heart follows your treasure. Wherever you put your treasure, your heart is going to get there. And that's what was happening to me. My heart had followed my treasure. If you want to get your heart focused on something, put your treasure in. If you want to grow in desire or interest or commitment, put more of your treasure in it. That'll help you to grow. The sad truth is this, that some of us have put so little treasure in heaven that our hearts may never get there. The bulk of our treasure is in other places, and that's where our heart's probably going to be. What is our treasure? When you say the word treasure, for a lot of people, we're thinking, oh, money and real estate and things. And certainly that enters into it. But not necessarily so, because I'm just going to say this. I believe our ultimate treasure, the thing that we have that's at the very core of everything for us as treasure, is time and ability and effort. That is our treasure. That's our currency in life. Our time, our ability. That is our treasure. Money is a way of valuing our time, our effort, and our ability. You know, I guess I could take this out. I forgot to look and see if I had a dollar in here, but I'm pretty sure I do. Okay. Yeah. I guess everyone could take out their billfold and think about this. A dollar equals whatever time and effort it took me to earn it. This dollar is mine. And I earned it. And, you know, you can figure out, it represents a certain portion of my life. It represents a part of my life. Like, if I made $10 an hour, I could say that this little piece of paper here represents 6 minutes of my life. If I made $20 an hour, I could say that this little piece of paper here represents 3 minutes of my life. I have to think about that. And if I made $30 an hour, I could say that this little piece of paper over here represented 2 minutes out of my life. I'm pretty good at math, huh? Okay, two minutes out of my life. It's just a way of valuing your life. That's all that it is. It's a medium. And it's a way of attaching value to the minutes and the hours and the days of our lives. It's also a medium of exchange. With money, I can carry my time and my effort and my ability from my workplace to do all kinds of other important things. I can carry my dollar over here and I can put some of it there. And I carry another dollar over and put some of it there. It makes things portable. It's kind of nice that it works out that way. But Jesus is warning us. He says, be careful what you do with your treasure. Be careful what you do with your time and your effort and your money, your ability. Because wherever these things are invested, that's where your heart is going to go. How can we lay up treasure in heaven? There's only two things in this world. I used to say there was only one thing in this world that's going from here to heaven. But I got to thinking about it. Actually, there's two things in this world that's going to go from here to heaven. The first one is our souls. The souls of people will make the journey from this world to the next. And then there's something else. There is the church. It's kind of another way of saying souls, isn't it? But the church is like a collective. Like souls, we think of individuals. And when we talk about the church, we're talking about lots of souls who have banded together. But there's only two things that are going to go to heaven from here. Our souls and the church. And there's only one way to lay up treasure in heaven. One way to lay up treasure in heaven is to find some way to invest in the souls of people so they will make it to heaven. I have to find some way to get this dollar somehow invested in the soul of a person so that when they get there, my investment has made it to heaven. I've actually laid up treasure in heaven. And it's being carried by that soul. I do. That's what it boils down to. Only one thing going to make it from here to there, and that's souls of people. And if I want to lay up treasure in heaven, I've got to find some way to get this dollar into the soul of a person. And so laying up treasure in heaven is spending my time, my effort, my ability, spending my money, using my assets in such a way that the souls of people will be in heaven because I gave my treasure. That makes sense to you? There's no sin in having a car. But you can take a car and you can use that to lay up treasure in heaven. Did you know that? You can take that asset and you can lay up treasure in heaven with a car. No sin in having a nice house. But we need to take that nice house and use it in such a way that we're laying up treasure in heaven. We can impact souls with our houses. Did you know that? There's no sin in buying groceries, paying bills, taking care of AEP and Eric's gas or whatever it is that we need. God expects us to take care of our families. He makes that very plain in a couple places in our New Testament. There's no sin in working hard and making money. But what God wants us to understand is the overriding purpose of all that we have here. Whether it's our time, whether we think of it in terms of time and effort and ability, whether we think of it in terms of money or real estate or things or whatever it is, the overriding purpose of everything that we have is to somehow impact the souls of people to make sure that our treasure is laid up in heaven. The other thing from this world that's going to heaven is the church. This is the one organization in this world that God has created for the express purpose of saving souls, keeping souls, and taking souls to heaven. I want you to look at Hebrews chapter 12, verses 22 and 23. I mean, I guess I could have turned to other verses, but this is the one that I thought of when I was thinking about this. And what the writer is doing is he's saying, you know, he's talked about the old law and about the law of Moses. And he says, you know, you're not being called to come to a mountain like Sinai and be scared to death when God speaks. And all the stuff that was involved in the old law, you're not being called to come to Moses. He said, but this is what you've come to. You've come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven. To God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect. And he goes on in verse 24. I didn't put that one up there. But what he's saying, hey, the church is going to heaven. The church is registered in heaven. So that's another one of those things. The church is souls. The church is full of souls. And so it all kind of fits together here. And when I put my treasure with the church, I'm laying up for myself treasure in heaven. The church needs our treasure to do the work that God has given it. And there is no work more important. There's no work more vital. There's no work more urgent than what the church is doing. We are saving souls. We are keeping souls. We are helping souls on their way to heaven. That's what we're about. We stub our toe every now and then. We fall on our face. It doesn't work out exactly the way we hoped. I mean, that's kind of how it is with us people. But what the church is all about is about souls. And we're laying up treasure in heaven when we give treasure, our treasure, to the church. Our time, our effort, our ability, our money, our assets for the saving of souls. Jesus said again in Matthew 6, 19 through 21, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust corrupt, and thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust corrupt, and thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. Maybe there's someone here this morning that's not a Christian. We're singing our hymn for you, that you might have this opportunity to confess your faith in Christ and become a child of God today. When we sing this hymn, if you know you're ready to confess your faith in Christ, to repent, to be baptized in Him, please come to the front. Let's stand and sing if you need to receive.